Well, it's the last big challenge of Ireland's EU presidency, which finishes at the end of the month, securing agreement on Europe's almost €1 trillion budget for the next 7 years. Heads of government agreed a deal last February. They cut spending back to €960 billion. But the EU Parliament has its own ideas and the budget can't be passed without MEPs backing. The Taoiseach and Foreign Affairs Minister Eamon Gilmore joins us from Brussels. Good morning, Taoiseach.
Good morning, Anya.
Are you able, do you think, today, over the next couple of days, to square this circle between EU leaders looking to save money and the EU Parliament looking to spend more?
Well, we've been working on this now for a number of months, and to date we've had 10 formal meetings of one kind or another to try and get agreement on the European Union budget up to 2020. We made a lot of progress last night, and I'm due to go back to meetings again in about a half an hour's time. What's involved here is a very big sum of money, €960 billion. To put it in context, we're talking about, in real terms, an amount of money which is about 5 to 6 times the Marshall Plan. It's money that we used to always talk about in Ireland, I think, as the money from Europe that built the roads and the ports and funded training and social programmes. This is money that today and over the next 7 years will be used to support the creation of jobs in Europe, supporting, for example, the food industry through the Common Agriculture Policy, supporting research and innovation, the money that goes into universities and into companies for research and upgrading, supporting infrastructure. There's about €100 million in it, for example, for funding for infrastructure projects in the border and Midlands region in Ireland, another €150 million for the peace programme.
It's not the objectives, though, as it tarnished us so much as the cost. And I mean, this appears to be the point of difference, doesn't it, between EU leaders and the Parliament. Have you been able to make progress there?
Well, you're right, it is the cost, because, of course, this is not money from heaven. This is money that is put up by the taxpayers of Europe, and at a time when every individual country in Europe is tightening its budget and looking at every line that it is spending, it is difficult to assemble this amount of money. Where we have been able to make progress is across a number of areas. First of all, a degree of flexibility in how the money is spent. It sometimes happens, for example, that not all of the money is spent in 1 year. Traditionally, money not spent went back to the member states. We're working on a formula whereby there can be more flexibility in that, and that some money that's not spent in 1 year can be carried forward to the next. The second area that we're looking at is, of course, the period from now to 2020 is quite a long period, and the economic situation in Europe may change, and we all hope that it will improve. And therefore, we are building into what we are agreeing a midterm review of the budget to look at the economic situation about 2016 or so, and to see if variations can be made on it at that stage. And then the third area is, of course, there are a lot of European budgets and European funds of one kind or another. And I think that a lot of people are a bit perplexed when they hear the European budget and the MFF and the ESM and all of these acronyms. And one of the things that we're attempting to do is to pull those together and to make it a more transparent, so that the taxpayers of Europe can see exactly where their money is going and can see it, if you like, on one page.
And I appreciate you probably don't want to jinx the outcome at this stage, but given that we went into the Irish presidency almost 6 months ago without a budget deal, do you think it's going to end without a budget deal, or can you pull it off?
Well, we're certainly making every effort to get agreement. It is something that has to be agreed by the European Parliament. The members of the European Parliament are hugely important in this. There has to be an overall majority of the entire membership of the European Parliament voting for this. So I would encourage farmers, people who work in the food industry, students, young people in particular, because one of the areas where there's a very big sum of money being provided is for youth unemployment, and that one of the things we want to do with that is we want to bring that forward so that that's spent in the early years of the programme. And I would encourage people who stand to benefit from this budget to talk to their members of the European Parliament and to encourage them to support the adoption of this budget, which is needed to support jobs and investment right across Europe, right, but in Ireland in particular.
Sounds like you aren't totally certain, although still hopeful, of a deal there on the budget. budget. One issue, of course, that's much in the news at the moment, and relevant to you, of course, as Foreign Affairs Minister, is the discussions on Syria at the G8 summit in Fermanagh. Agreement on talks, peace talks, but that was already on the cards. No agreement from Russia to change their support for the Assad regime. How disappointed are you in that?
Well, I'm not surprised at it because Russia has maintained that position right through. And indeed, that has been one of the reasons why the United Nations has not been able to adopt a very strong position in relation to Syria. The situation in Syria is appalling. We're now looking at the latest figure is that 93,000 people have been killed in Syria. 3.5 million people driven out of their homes, many of them in refugee camps in Turkey and Jordan and Lebanon, and indeed signs of instability in some of those countries. There's a huge humanitarian crisis. One of the things that I welcomed in particular from the meeting yesterday was the commitment to provide an additional $1.5 billion dollars in humanitarian assistance, and indeed today Ireland will be committing another $1.65 million from our aid budget to support the humanitarian effort. Because the people who have been driven out of their homes and who have been driven across borders are now living in very, very difficult circumstances, and they need assistance with food, with shelter, with education and with medical needs. And that is the immediate requirement that the international community has to respond to.
And on the tax equity question that was being discussed at the G8, the Lockyer Declaration saying companies should know who owned them and tax collectors and law enforcers should be able to obtain this information easily. It's all very grand as an intention, but there's no enforcement or obligation there. Is it just fine words?
No, it's not just fine words, and in fact it's something that we have been working on, because again, as part of our European Union presidency, in fact we have been driving forward with new initiatives at a European Union level for the sharing of tax information and for the cracking down on tax evasion. And also at the OECD, which I attended a couple of weeks ago, there is work being done to address the kind of loopholes that exist internationally that allow clever tax planners to find their way around the tax regimes between different countries. So as a country, Ireland is anxious that there would be international effort and international agreement to close the loop. No, it's not a case. It can only be done internationally. We have a very transparent tax regime ourselves, and that's recognised internationally. The problem is that companies with clever tax planners are able to find a loophole between the tax regime in one country and in another. And the only way that you can close that off is by having robust international agreements. There are already some, and Ireland is an early signatory of some of those. We were the fourth signatory, I think, of an agreement with the United States. We are working on further agreements, both at a European Union level and at an OECD level, in order to close off these loopholes.
Does it strike you, Tánaiste, that there might be something a little bit contradictory in talking about tax equity in Enniskillen, while Michelle Obama is meeting Bono for lunch in Dublin, despite Joan Burton having very publicly criticised Bono for U2's offshore tax status?
Well, I have no control over who Michelle Obama meets or who Bono meets. That's entirely a matter for themselves.
You're not concerned about the mixed messages?
No, my view on taxation is that the taxation regime should apply evenly to everybody. I believe that everybody, no matter who they are, should be contributing to the tax system and should be contributing on the basis of their ability to pay.